I did download one on the desktop, but this isn't going to work. That we can call that.
How do you present it?
It's just canvas. I'll try using it. Where did I? We are going to talk about baptism today. It's been on my mind because I was talking to my daughter Perry recently. She told me she wants to get baptized, so I was thinking about it. We were talking about it, and I had some things that I was not totally sure how to explain, so I figured I had to look at it. And baptism blobbed. I was just talking to somebody earlier this month who is new to the Christian faith. Used to practice Hinduism, different types of Eastern religions. Now new to Christianity, so found out they got baptized. Okay, so tell me more. That's great. So baptism. I know some of you older kids know what that is. Can one of the younger kids tell me, do you know what baptism is? Baptizing somebody. Okay, what does it mean to baptize somebody? Say it a little louder. Yeah, that's a good answer. So he said, you put somebody on your hands and then you put them under water. Yep. That's a good way to say it. Has anybody here been baptized? Okay. Some of us aren't totally sure. In fact, my wife told me that once she tried to tell one of her friends who she really wanted to know the Lord that while she was swimming, she could just quick dunk underwater, and that's one way to do it. There's also sneaking up behind somebody and pushing their head into a bucket of water. These are all non-biblical ways of getting baptized. So let's find out what the Bible says about it, shall we? Well, I didn't find any baptizing in the Old Testament. I did not. But it does involve water, and there were some priests who would do some ceremonial washings. I don't know if the practice of baptism came from that. It's really speculation. If you look at history and cultural history, things like that, I am by no means claiming to be the authority on that. But we are going to look at what the Bible says about it, and it's right away in the New Testament. Which of the girls over here can tell me where baptizing first shows up in the Bible?
Me?
Yep.
When John the Baptist started baptizing people.
That's right. John the Baptist. Did we just make up that term, John the Baptist?
I think so.
I thought so too. But you know what? I looked at my Bible. Sure enough, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all call him John the Baptist. So I thought the same thing as you, but I had to look through my Bible, and then sure enough. Sometimes we give names to things, and then we get used to saying things that way, and then when we try to open our Bible, we're like, where is the Bible talking about what I always talk about? And then we're like, whoa. So we have to make sure we're thinking about things the way the Bible says. So, yep, good to check ourselves, right? He's called John the Baptist. How many Gospels are there? Gospel accounts? Denham? How many Gospel accounts are there? The Gospels are the first blank books of the New Testament. There's a certain number you know of yet. If you don't, you can pass. Five? Good guess, you're really close. There's four Gospels. Four Gospels. Yep, four. One, two, three, four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's, and then there's Acts, Romans. What comes after Romans? Let's not talk, girls. Okay. What comes after Romans? Say it like you know it, because you're right. Say it loud. You're right. Say it loud. You were right. 1 Corinthians? I think that's what I heard. 1 Corinthians. What comes after 1 Corinthians? Yep, you. 2 Corinthians. Good job. All right, and then the next four books are a little bit tricky to remember, and if you say them really fast, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. But a good way that I learned from somebody to remember the next four books is General Electric Power Company. General Electric Power Company. That, I didn't learn that till I was in college, but because I already had it pounded into my head as a kid, but that's how I say it so fast. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Was there a guy named Galatians? So Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, these were people. Who was Galatians? Who can raise their hand and tell me who the man Galatians was? Not 101 Dalmatians. Oh, okay. So I was trying to trick you guys. Did I trick any of you guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Galatians was a group of people. It would be like saying Wisconsinites. Have you ever heard of Wisconsinites or Californians or Floridians, Amphibians? So Galatians is a group of people. Who was Ephesians? We're on a roll here, Abby. That's right. A group of people. Philippians, Colossians. Those are groups of people that were named after the city they were in. So there was a church that the Apostle Paul wrote to in Galatia, which is a region, actually. And then there was a city called, pay attention, boys, Ephesus. There was a city called, what do you think, Philadelphia? Where is the city of Philippians? Where is that city? David knows it. The city. Philippi, yep. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what are the next two? Sorry. Missed a couple. I skipped them. Next couple?
Acts and letters to the Romans.
Acts and Romans. Sit down. What's after Acts and Romans? I was pointing at Aaron. After Acts and Romans? Good guess. Who can help him? Not quite. Ellie? Yes, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then G-E-P-C. General Electric Power Company. You can say all four. Good job. Okay. So, find Galatians. Turn in your Bibles if you can read and you have a Bible, I want you to put it on your lap and find Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This verse is very helpful to, before we get into talking about baptism. This is John the Baptist, right here. But we don't want to be people who just do things because this is what you do. God wants people who do what he wants for the right reason. What's a good reason to do something for God? Erica.
Because that God wants you to?
Yep, to please him, right? Because you want to please him. Anybody else have an idea? What's a good reason to do something for God?
To love one another.
Okay. Why would you want to do that for God? Because he doesn't want us to hurt people. Yep. Yeah. So that, if you love people because God wants you to do that, you must trust that he knows what's best, right?
Yeah.
You must trust him. If you're going to love people just because he wants you to. That means you believe that God knows that things work out best when we love each other. We could talk a lot more about that, but Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. You ever thought about that? Have you been crucified with Christ? I thought he was crucified for us before we were born. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. Wait a minute. Paul said he's not living anymore? Then how is he writing a letter to the Galatians? Now I'm confused. Hold your thoughts. I like that your wheels are turning. Hold your thoughts. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. Jesus Christ is inside of Paul? How does he fit in there? How does Jesus Christ fit inside somebody?
No clue.
Wow, these are really interesting words. Let's keep reading. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That makes a little more sense. Let me read the whole thing again all together. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Wow. That is quite a mouthful, right? Quite a head full of stuff, but I'm going to break that down for us as we go through the message, okay? But baptism illustrates that truth, okay? So remember we went through the books, Galatians, G, General Electric Power Company, G, Galatians, 220. I always loved 2:20 in school because that meant it's almost 3 o'clock. 2:20 p.m. That school day was winding down. Galatians 2:20. Remember that verse? And we are going to reference back to it there. And if you have a highlighter, that's one to highlight. I don't even have that highlighted in my Bible. What's going on? I like it to jump out and hit me in the face. That one's so important. So I'll have to do that. But my kids like my highlighters, so. All right. So we're going to come back to that verse. But here's John. He's baptizing people. And in the New Testament, John was a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord." It's hard to drive down a road that's all rocky and bumpy and not paved. I've had a lot of road work by my house lately, and especially when I ride my motorcycle, oh my, I gotta slow down. It's really dangerous. But now, yesterday I drove on it and it was really nice and smooth. It was fun. It was nice and easy. John was supposed to pave the way for the Messiah. The Messiah is a Hebrew Jewish term. The people of Israel, they were waiting for somebody to save them, to deliver them from all of their problems. And God promised that a Messiah would come. And in our language, we would, if we're going to say Messiah, we say Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ, same thing. Jesus Christ. And that's who John was supposed to paved the way for. So he went out and was shouting, kind of a bold character, repent and be baptized. And he was to baptize people for the forgiveness of sins. They were supposed to repent. So he had a baptism of repentance. If there's one person in the world that doesn't need to repent, who's that? Am I getting ahead of ourselves? Do you know what it means to repent? Thank you for saying so. Who said that? I like you. Honesty. That's good. All right. Do you want to guess what repentance means, or you want to take a stab at it? What it might mean to repent? Okay. Do you have an idea what repent means? Karen.
Yeah.
I like what you're saying. Yep. Yep. I heard, I didn't hear all of that, but I heard give your way, give up your way to Jesus' way. Is that what you said? Okay. That's a really good way of saying it. Somebody, can somebody help him get to Galatians 2:20? One of you kids? John was supposed to, he was there to help people change their mind. And what is the biggest thing that we need to change our mind about? There could be a couple ideas here. What do you think the biggest thing we need to change our minds about is?
Sin.
Tell me more.
I agree. You need to feel sorry for your sins and try to do your best to do good and say sorry for your sins.
Okay. You've circled all around the target and you haven't punched it right through the bullseye. What do we need to change our minds about sin?
To be good.
Okay, you guys are talking about the result of this. Be good, yes, yes, I agree. But what does God think about sin?
He hates it.
He hates it.
Do you ever hate something so much? My wife hates June bugs. She hates them. I miss out on so many beautiful evenings because as soon as the sun goes down, I'm all into summer. I don't want to be out there by myself because she hates June bugs and she won't be near them. And you know, you're right. God hates sin. And you know what John says about us is that the reason people don't like the light is because we're sinners and our deeds are evil. And we love our sin. We love our sin. That's not good. If we love something that God hates. So repenting is saying, you know what, God? You're right.
I hate sin too, and I've done more than enough of it. I want to follow you. I want to hate sin in my life. I want to love what is right, because God loves righteousness and he hates sin. And then, yes, we want to do things that are right because we hate sin and we love God. So that's what the wheels were starting to turn in people when John the Baptist came. He said, repent. You need to be forgiven of your sins. But the Messiah hadn't come yet. The road was still getting paved. What's this? What is that?
An oil stick.
Okay. You said the word stick, so we have everything we need. The first word is right up here. It's dip, stick. So, dipstick is a way to measure oil. And one guy once told me, do you know what it means if somebody calls you a dipstick? What is that doing there? It's measuring something. What is that measuring? This is a car. Close, measuring oil, yes. How much? Your engine needs oil. So if you're dumb enough to measure oil with, that means you're a dipstick. Okay, but let's say, why are we talking about this? Because that's actually what the word baptize means. It means to dip. So what's on the bottom of this?
Oil.
Oil, that's right. So this part of the stick has oil on it. And so you can say, yep, this measures your amount of oil. So you know you have at least this much oil in there. That's how high it is. This part does not have oil. So you know there's not oil that high in the engine. But you know there's oil down here. Well, this stick has to get dipped into the oil so that you know that your engine is going to keep working the next time you use it. But the word dip is actually where baptism comes from. The word baptism. And that's what it means, to dip. And here's another example of dipping. So in the Bible, there was a man named, actually he's not, doesn't have a name that we know. But he said he's in the lake of fire and he's burning and it will never stop. Horrible. Horrible situation. And you know what he asked? He said, send this guy I knew in my life, send that guy. I want him to dip his finger in some water, just put it on my tongue. That's how desperate he was for any type of relief. That's the word for dip. So you gotta put your finger in the water, put it on his tongue. You gotta dip it in there. Just like you're checking the oil, it has to dip in the oil. That's what we're talking about. Here's another one. The Last Supper. So Judas is still on the scene. Judas Iscariot. Most of what we're going to talk about today is post-Judas. Judas is off the scene. But this is when he was still on the scene, and during the supper, before Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he dipped a morsel, a piece of bread probably, took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. So here's a piece of bread. There's something like a liquid here. Dip it in there. Do you ever like to dip things in your soup?
Yeah.
Bread in your soup or something? So you dip that in there. Now look at this. That bread is different now, right? So this part is probably crunchy. Makes a louder crunching sound if you eat this part. But if you eat this sound, or if you eat this part, it's probably a little fighter because that juice has soaked up into that bread and it's scrumptious and delicious, right? So this bread was dipped in the juice and now it's different. And so dipping, yeah. That's the idea of baptism, is dipping in something. So now John the Baptist here is pictured on the left. This is a man who has come and he's repentant and he wants to get right with God. So he allows John to put his head under the water. John's not being mean. He's not holding him underwater, trying to be mean or something in the swimming pool. You know, people hate that. this is him voluntarily doing this, and John is baptizing him. Sometimes people say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the Son of the Holy and of the Holy Spirit. Is that biblical to say that? I wasn't sure. It is. I found at the end of Matthew, he says, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If somebody doesn't say exactly those words when they baptize somebody, personally, I don't think that their baptism is null and void. But Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons of the triangle? Or different word, what do we call that? The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three parts of God. So they're all involved in baptism. Well, that's pretty interesting that Jesus would say that when he was about to leave earth, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all obviously there when Jesus got baptized. But here's what John said, because it's nice to be popular, right? Do you like it when people think you're pretty great and people give you attention? You want attention? That's like emotional candy. Attention. Well, sometimes it can get to our head. And so John was asked, so are you the one? Are you the one we're waiting for? The Messiah? He said, he was very clear. He said, no, I am not. But as for me, I baptize you with water. Water. So he's dipping people in water for, we talked about this, for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. That's one of the most humbling things, humiliating things you can do, is mess with the dirtiest part of people's bodies, right? Take their sandals off. That's a very low job. And John said, I don't even deserve to do that. He's so great. So somebody, he was very clear. Somebody very, very important is coming down this road that I am paving. I'm trying to prepare you for him. And he is going to baptize you too. Hopefully. Right? I don't know who he was saying this to. But he said, he's going to baptize not with water. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. What is that? Let's think about it. Store it in the back. So, one day, John is pictured here. He sees this person who he knew. That was his cousin, actually, Jesus. And Jesus was about 30 years old right here, and Jesus had not died on the cross. Jesus had not. He had about 3 years where he was very busy with his ministry. He had 3 years where he ministered and did all kinds of stuff. We don't really hear a lot between the time Jesus was 12 years old to when he became a man in terms of the Jewish culture. And then what about Jesus in his 20s? What about him when he was 18? The Bible doesn't say much, but he continued to grow and he continued to increase in favor with people around him, knowledge. He grew. And here he is. This is a big, 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 big. Do I have to say big a few more times?
No.
This is a big day. This is a big day. This is a big day for Jesus because now his public ministry is beginning. And so John says, I should not. Jesus wanted John to baptize him. And John said, you, the greater one, should be you should be baptizing me. That's how this works. Because Jesus didn't have any sin to repent from, did he? Did Jesus ever have to stop loving sin and turn his life towards God again?
No.
His life was focused on the Lord. He was there to fulfill the mission that the God the Father sent him to do, and he did it well, and he always had that in mind. So he was like us in a lot of ways, but not that way. And that's great, because we need a Savior like that, don't you? On one of your bad days, you ever have a bad day where you can't control your voice? I do. And I need a God who's not going to say, I'm not feeling, I don't feel like putting up with this today. You're on your own. I'll be back in 5. God does not do that. God is always, always the same. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? Why did he want to be baptized? Well, this is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke. And what he said to John was, just permit it at this time, because we need to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was not, here's a little bit of a different type of baptism. Jesus wasn't getting baptized because he had to change his life. Jesus was getting baptized so that God could show Jesus as the awaited one, as the Messiah. And what was special at Jesus' baptism? What happened after John baptized Jesus? Anybody remember? What do you think happened? Yeah.
A dove came out of the water.
Okay. Anything else? You're right.
Rain?
Why do you say rain?
Rain.
He prayed? Okay. There was something that people thought sounded like thunder happened. What else happened? Did you have your hand up? Saraya, what else happened? Is your hand up?
Something about the Holy Spirit.
Yep, and that's pictured right here. The Holy Spirit came down. There's another big one here. Somebody thought of that thunder, but something else happened.
A voice came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased."
That's right. And whose voice was that?
God's.
Well, we already have God here, God here. What else? This is God the Son. This is the Holy Spirit. Took the form of a dove. Who was saying that from heaven?
God the Father.
God the Father. So all three are in one. All three are here. Now, okay. So Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, that means something. So then, this is all the way fast forwarding. Jesus tells the 11 disciples, this is what you need to do. And then he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is just a picture describing those three things. They call that, this is sometimes called the Great Commission, okay? So the Great Commission has baptism in it. So baptism probably is important if you want to get to heaven, right? Sometimes we think, sometimes we get confused and we think the Bible's saying one thing, but it's not. You got to read the whole part. There's a part in the Bible in 1 Peter where it says baptism saves you. Let's just pick those three words out and stop reading. That's pretty clear, right? It says baptism saves you. Oh, but if you keep reading, should we keep reading? Let's turn to 1 Peter. I didn't get this, put this on the slides. I wanted to. But turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 21. Who can read that nice and loud? Go ahead. Nice and loud. 1 Peter 3, verse 21.
There is also an end type which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Boom. Baptism saves you. But not the washing of water off of your skin. Not cleaning you up. But it's something spiritual that's happening. So there's a... When we dip under the water and come up again, that is a symbol of something, isn't it? So here's a... I drew a picture. I put together a picture here. This is a person that's going to get baptized. Just look at the picture. Don't look at the words. Oop. She's wet. But she went all the way underwater, right?
I can't hear you speaking now.
Yeah, that's fine. I tried my best. It's actually pretty challenging to crop half of an image and then orient it at 90 degrees. I'm pretty happy with it, actually. But there's a picture being illustrated here, okay? And an easy thing I remember is Jesus told a man to never be baptized because he was nailed to a cross. You're going to be in heaven today with me. And that man did not get baptized. He got to go to heaven. Let's actually understand what the scripture says, though, too, right? Not just pick a case and build our whole doctrine up or our whole understanding off of one scenario. But that's an easy one that shows, well, pretty hard for us, for God to make an exception for this guy. It's not really consistent. But this is a person that has given her life to the Lord Jesus. She has repented. She has said, I hate sin. I struggle with it, but I don't want to live for myself anymore. And she said, I want you, Jesus Christ, in my life. And I don't want to live for myself. I want to live my life by faith in Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself up for me. She is a Christian. She is a Christian if she believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Don't answer that. Just think about it. Just think about it. Am I a Christian? There's no magic thing, but the Bible says how to become a Christian, and I'm not here to get into details on that, because I want to teach you about this. So when she's not in the water yet, it's a picture of how she was before she met the Lord Jesus, before she changed. And she was living for herself. She was a slave to sin. Did you know that somebody who's not a Christian is a slave to sin? Romans chapter 6 says that. I wish we could go to these verses, but we're out of time just about. Not following Jesus. This is a picture. This is a picture. Okay, because remember, this, we'll call her Sally. Sally told her parents, I would like to get baptized. And then her parents talked to her. The church gets together, they have a baptism. Sally knows why she's doing this. But so then she does this thing that identifies her as a, what do you think?
Christian.
Baptism identifies somebody as a Christian. That's right. Because it's a picture of being living for yourself, and she dies to that. She goes under the water, and nobody sees her anymore. People came to watch her baptism, but she's under the water. Nobody sees her. So that's a picture of being buried with Christ into death, dying to the world. And that's what Galatians 2 said. I have been crucified with Christ. So if Jesus hung on that cross, he died, he was done living his 33 years the way he did. Now onto bigger and better things. He raised from the dead and then went back to heaven. So a believer is done with an old way of life. But they don't just become immune to sin and that's it. And then they go into oblivion or whatever you want to say. She stands up then, and somebody has to give her a towel because she hates getting water in her eyes. She hates water in her eyes. And so somebody hands her a towel and she dries off. And nothing magical happened. Nothing magical happened with Sally. But something did happen, and that's that Sally got baptized and showed everyone around her that she's not afraid to be called a Christian. She's not ashamed. Well, that's easy to do when everybody else around you is a Christian, right? But there are some instances in Acts where there was all people all over the place, and people were like, why should I not get baptized right now? In front of who knows, right? Their boss at work, or their neighbor who's out in the market today and there's a pool and they get baptized and their neighbor hates Jesus. But that person is not ashamed to be identified as a Christian. They say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back for me. And if no one joins me, I'm going to still follow him. That's the mindset that a person would have when they go through what we call believer's baptism. Believer's baptism. So coming up out of the water symbolizes, yes, you think I'm the same person, but actually there's been a change inside me. So this is a picture. I want to be very clear, kids. Focus, boys. Focus. This is really important. If you want to get baptized and you go under the water and come up again, there's no magic in there. There's no magic change. Okay? Don't plan on that. Magic isn't the right word, but there's no miracle in going under the water and coming up. God can do miracles whenever he wants, but don't misunderstand this. The miracle can happen in the perfect quietness. The miracle happens when there's a change of heart. So here's another example of a man. He heard the gospel. It was explained to him. He believed. He got baptized. I'm going to close with this. I went through that already. Paul got baptized. I couldn't even remember that. I had to look at it. Paul got baptized. Right in Damascus. After he got unblinded. Those are some pictures illustrating what it might have looked like for some people. There was all kinds of people. Before getting baptized, a person should what? Confess being a sinner. Repent from a life lived for self. Recognize that Jesus is the Christ. Receive and own him, capital H, as personal Savior and Lord, believing in him for salvation. What's that? He's saved. That's what you should do before you get baptized. Okay, so the last thing here. Listen to this. Timothy, I never read anything about being baptized, but Paul had Timothy circumcised, okay? I bet Paul encouraged him to be baptized. My speculation, but listen to this. There's this curious phrase in 1 Timothy. Paul is talking to Timothy, encouraging him to do just what we have talked about, you guys. John the Baptist was saying, be saved from this generation. Jesus' disciples had that message. Jesus said, repent. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Well, guess what? Paul was doing that too. And he said, flee from these things, you man of God, Timothy. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Not just because those are the right things to do. Not just because that's what's right and that's what's good and that's what mom and dad say. Obey your parents. Do what God wants because, please sit down, because God wants me to, and God loves me, and God proved it to me. He died for me, and I can take his word, and I can say by his grace, I don't want sin. Even though naturally I love it, we can turn away from those things, and that's the miracle of what Jesus can do in a person. And so Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. It's hard. You gotta fight. You can't just lay there and hope it goes well. It takes fighting. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Live like you've been saved. And then he says, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So I don't know what that scenario was. Maybe you have some thoughts. One possible thing I'll pause is maybe that was at Timothy's baptism. Maybe Timothy got baptized and told everybody why he was getting baptized. Now, Timothy was kind of shy. He kind of was shy sometimes. I don't know. It's possible. Maybe Timothy was nervous to talk in front of people. Maybe he wrote down his testimony. And then he read it. Could he have still given a good confession if he wrote down something and read it in front of all those people, if there was a lot of people? Yes. Yeah, that's possible. Thank you. You're alive. Maybe he, there's different ways to do this. Maybe he said it all himself. Some people don't get as nervous talking as other people. But the important thing is that he knew what he was doing, and he was able to do that in front of other people, which is the whole point, is to show, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I am done with living for myself. I want to be like, I want to be with Jesus. When Jesus died, I want to be with him in his death. When he rose from the dead, I want to be with him in his resurrection. I want to live a new life with Jesus. Because, why? Because it's on sale? No, because that's what Jesus' plan is. That's the plan of salvation, is to die to ourselves, to live for him and with him. And he's going to take, he has seated us in heavenly places with Christ. God the Father has done that. What an amazing God. This is one thing that he wants believers to do. So just think about it, and your gears are turning. Have somebody read to you from the Bible these things we talked about, or read it yourself if you can read. Let's pray. Father, thank you for doing such a loving thing for us. Thank you for sending your only Son, your precious Son, who pleased you perfectly to take our place in punishment and penalty, and to make a payment that he did not, should not have had to make, but he did, regardless. This mountain of debt that we have to give an account to a holy God for, he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Thank you for being such a redeemer, for being our Savior. And just break down these walls in our hearts, whether we, I'm not saying that we all have barriers, things that we will not surrender to you in. And would you please break down these barriers, make every thought subject to Jesus Christ in our lives. And for these kids, just guide them and draw them to yourself. Take special care of them. And so we commit ourselves to your care and help our unbelief. And may we draw nearer and nearer to you. Please be near to us. We pray for Tammy Kleiman. Please be near to her. And with that awful heartache, and comfort her. And we pray for Ray Welch. And just pray for each one here that is precious to you. And commit ourselves to you and ask for your help to make this topic helpful, produce the fruit that needs to be. Amen.
Are you thirsty? Go get it.
Yeah, but...